Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're talking about an awakening to God. And we discovered that in the Great Awakening out of which America was born, and in the awakening of 1857 through 1859, there was financial disaster. There's financial disaster now. What is our answer? God is our answer. I want to suggest some things to you that the Word of God teaches that we should do in a time of famine, in a time of financial disaster. We'll look first at the case of Isaac. Genesis chapter 26. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went down to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And in your Bible, you see capital L-O-R-D. That is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That is the ineffable name of God that we mispronounce Jehovah. But I'll say it like that. Jehovah appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Isaac was thinking, what can I do? My father went down to Egypt. Others have gone down to Egypt when perhaps I should go there. The Lord said, no, don't you go to Egypt. You stay in the land. And the land that he was in was Gaza, the Gaza Strip today. And the Lord said, verse 3, sojourn in this land and I will be with you and I will bless you. Folks, your answer, my answer, in the time of economic disaster is the blessing of the Lord. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now, skip down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. There's that word blessing. There's a famine. That means there's no rain in those days. And especially if you could see where Gaza is. Hadn't had rain, but Isaac sowed. In a time of famine, you must be sure that you sow. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. How did he know he had a hundredfold? He counted it. And the Lord blessed him. In notes in my Hebrew Chumash on this chapter that's written by their sages, it says, Isaac was scrupulous to determine the quantity of his crop to establish his tithes. He counted how much God gave him to establish his tithes. Folks, there's a blessing in tithing. I have people come up to me every once in a while and they say, I give lots to the Lord, but I don't count it as a tithe because I don't want to be under the law. Folks, tithing is not under the law. Tithing began, it was initiated a long time before the law. This is Isaac, who is Isaac's father, Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek when he was returning home from having defeated five kings. He took the spoil and gave the tithes to the king of righteousness from Jerusalem, Melchizedek. Now that's Abraham. Now here's his son Isaac. He learned to tithe from his father Abraham. And then there comes Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. They were the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those sons was Levi. Levi had a son named Moses. And you know the story. Not Levi himself, but from his lineage. Several generations on came his lineage, Moses. The law, what we call the law, that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, that is the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law that came at Sinai and that was given to Moses. You'll find it written down in Leviticus. You shall do this and you shall not do this and you shall do this and you shall not do this. Long after Isaac, long after Abraham, the tithe was not initiated in the law. It was before the law, and there is a blessing on it. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Say, Hebrews is in the New Testament. Say, New Testament. Now, in Hebrews chapter 7, it's talking about just that, a paying of tithes by Abraham, and how he paid to Melchizedek tithes. And then even the sons of Levi received the tithes. But it says that here, now we're going to go on down to verse 8. Here, speaking of earth, men that die receives tithe, but there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. That's Jesus. It says that he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he receives the tithe. When I write out my tithe checks, like to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, every month I write a check to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Why? Because I ate well out of that storehouse. That's where I learned almost everything I know. So for years, since 1970, I've been paying a part of my tithes and offerings to Kenneth Hagin Ministries every month. When I write that check out, I put it in an envelope. I'm a word partner. You should be one too. And I go over to my, I'm talking about with Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I take my envelope. I hold it up before the Lord. I used to walk over to the window when I lived in my house, big house over the lake. And I'd walk over there and I'd hold my tithes up before the Lord, my offerings. And I'd wave them and I'd say, Lord, I'm sending part of it here to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Oh, Lord, but I'm giving it directly to you. I know you head up that ministry. And I know you'll use it down through your body that's working there to keep the word of the Lord going around the world, the word of faith. So I know that Jesus in heaven receives my tithes. Oh, how blessed I am. I get to give tithes. It's not that I have to give tithes. I get to give tithes. And there's a great blessing on it. Turn with me to the familiar tithe scripture from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So if you're given a dollar, my grandson over here is across from me. He's, how old are you? 19 years old. He's a sound man. He's controlling all the board and everything and giving me signs that I now have 5 minutes left. Let's say that just because I'm his grandmother and I love him, I give him $20, which I do from time to time. Nod your head if it's so. Did you all see that nod? So then that means he's supposed to take $2 of that and give it to the Lord because it belongs to the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. Now, he's not just trying to get Brandon's $2. He's trying to bless Brandon. There's a blessing on giving tithe. Why would you argue about tithes when there's a blessing on it? So back to the Bible here. Malachi 3. Will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me, in tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse. It can cause, you know, it can open the door for the curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. The windows of heaven thrown wide open and blessing poured out on you on that $18 you kept, Brandon. Back to Malachi 3:10. Prove me now herewith, He doesn't ask us to prove him on many things, but he just says, come on, I want to bless you so. Please prove me on this tithe. Prove me now herewith, saith Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, King James misses it here. It says that there shall not be room enough to receive it, leaving you the idea that if you don't have, it'll be a blessing that you don't have room to receive. Well, I now live, not in my big house over on the lake, which I still have, but I now live because I wanted to be closer to Prayer Mountain. I now live in a double-wide modular that we bought. And Shelly lives at one end of it, and I live at the other. Shelly has two rooms at one end of it. It's a nice size, but Shelly has got those two rooms absolutely filled with her costumes. I say that Shelly doesn't dress in clothes. She wears costumes. Boots galore. Costumes everywhere. Closets bulging. If the Lord gave her one more outfit, she wouldn't have room enough to receive it over there where we are. But she says, I told this the other day at Osage Beach, and she said, don't let that stop you. I'll be like a river. I'll give it on. And she does, and people just load her with stuff, and she gives it on. But that's not the meaning here. You might just have a little lean-to cardboard shack up against a wall of a city or something. No, he'll pour you out a blessing. The measure is not on your room to receive it. The measure is on this. Listen. See, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, don't read the italicized words, read only the regular print, that not enough. Three words, that not enough. The word for that is the Hebrew word ad. It means until. The word for not is bli. It means without. You can have your coffee, milk, or bli milk. It means without milk. And the word die, you know it from the word El Shaddai. It means enough. So what we have here, until, ad bli die, until there's not enough. Where? In heaven. The tithe blessing is based on heaven. He will pour you out a blessing from heaven until heaven runs out. It will never run out. Yes, of course, the money's here on earth, but he'll send angels after it. He'll have the ability, you can send the angels after it. He will have the ability to bless you. Be sure to give your tithes in the time of famine. Be sure to sow in the time of famine. We'll be in Collinsville, Oklahoma, May 8th, 9th, and 10th at a glorious church fellowship, Pastor Lee Morgan's. And there we'll be having an Awakening America rally. We invite you to come. You can find out about it at billybrim.org. 1-800-972-3447. You can phone us and find out about it. We're having an eschatology meeting right here on Prayer Mountain where we'll be studying going over the book of Daniel. So exciting. In these last days, just go online to find out about it or call us at 1-800-972-3447. We've got an Israel trip coming up in June. Youth trip. Want to send a youth to go to Israel? Oh, that's a wonderful thing to do. Or send your pastor. It'll bless your whole church. This is Billy Brim saying Shabbat Shalom. Until the next time.